The Reboot Talk, your business podcast by Boot Düsseldorf.
Welcome to our second edition of Reboot Talk, the business podcast by Boot Düsseldorf. Reboot Talk addresses current developments in the water sports industry with experts from various sectors of the marine industry. In today's episode, we will focus on the beach and board sports sector. This part of the industry has experienced immense growth in the past years, especially in 2020. New trends emerged, and as the worldwide corona pandemic boosted individual sports and domestic destinations, especially the stand-up paddling market, grew rapidly. A good chance for established suppliers, but also an opportunity for new players and even discount shops. Today, I will talk to experts and professionals from the board sports sector and get to know more about the challenges and developments within this industry. How is the board sports sector evolving? How much do discounters influence the market? What defines the trend, and how will the market develop within the next years, past pandemic? Our guests are experts and representatives from the board sports industry and will give us an overview of their strategies and an evaluation. A special warm welcome to Andrea Höppner, founder and owner of Höppner Communications and 3-times windsurfing world championship. Also a warm welcome to Dirk Muschenich, general director of the VDWS Association of Water Sports Schools, and Florian Brunner, CEO of APM Marketing and Starboard Distributions in Germany. Let's start with a general look at the industry and especially the board sports sector. What were and what will be the trends in beach sports and board sports for 2020 and 2021, Andrea?
We are seeing different trends at the moment. For me personally, the biggest trend is the new sport of wing foiling, which I personally enjoy very much. But listening to other players in the market, I heard that stand-up paddling is still on the rise. And there's another trend, which is doing your sport in your local surroundings, using every water which is close to you. Go to a lake, go to the nearby coast, and don't go so far. That's the three trends that I see.
This means, on the other side, that the travel sector, also in your part of the industry, has to be suffering from the pandemic.
In Germany, it's definitely going well. But I know that in other destinations, due to travel restrictions, there are big problems. Maybe, Dirk, you can tell us something about your international members.
I would switch between one side, on the one side, the German and the European markets, which seems to be quite healthy. And even of the pandemic situation, the year 22 got really successful for them. And hopefully the 21 will get to the same result. But on the other hand, there are some quite famous destinations worldwide, like Brazil, like Egypt, or the African continent, which nearly hasn't any market, any international tourism market left, because they only live now, if they still live, they live just from the local markets, because there is no exchange of tourism in between Europe and the rest of the world. So this is the situation we see in the international centers, the Maldives, for example, because most of the islands are still closed or just open for the vaccinated guests. So these markets got really, really small.
We have a split, obviously, if you look at the tourism sector. How about the new trends Andrea mentioned, especially wing foiling and windsurfing, and the older trend, stand-up paddling? Is the picture you just draw about the immense rise in these activities? Is this something that you see worldwide, or is it just in Germany and the European countries? Florian, what's your opinion?
SUP has been rapidly increasing over the last 3 years. And this is not only the case for Germany, but it's also the case for countries within the European community, but also United States. I mean, stand-up paddling actually has been born in the United States on Hawaii, and came to Europe in like 2005, 2006, where we saw the first boards on the water. And, you know, talking to our colleagues and talking to the Starboard head office, you know, we can see that SUP is basically growing all over the world. We have something really special in Germany, where the majority of the boards sold are inflatable boards. Currently, we talk about maybe 90% of the market is in inflatable boards. When we look on the opposite side of the globe, in Australia, for example, the trend is vice versa. So about 90% of the boards are composite boards, like hard boards, and only 10% is in inflatables. But also in these markets, inflatables are growing due to the fact that they are easy to transport and easy to store, because this is, especially in Germany, is one of the major problems that people have to store their boards, and this is the advantage of the inflatables. Talking about trends in general, of course, you know, we can see that the SUP market is still growing. It did grow a lot, as I said before, in 2019, 2020, but we see another growth in 2021. But due to the problems in the supply chain, currently demand is exceeding supply, what actually is also a problem we can see. So as I said, SUP is still a trend. It's a worldwide trend. But also looking at wing surfing and wing foiling, what Andrea mentioned before, I would say this is like our latest trend we do have in the wind water sports. And this market is also rapidly growing. But in terms of numbers, of course, not as many wing foil boards or wing surfboards are sold compared to SUP. For me, another trend is that also looking at the, you know, what we call the mother of trend sports, windsurfing, that windsurfing is getting a kind of a revival. So so this was already the case last year, but also this year, you know, windsurfing has a lot of new people starting windsurfing. And maybe this is something Dirk can confirm, looking at the numbers in the windsurfing schools. Of course, in the windsurfing schools, due to the travel restrictions, especially in foreign countries, maybe the schools were not that busy. But talking to the schools within Germany, you know, we can see that windsurfing is growing again. So that's for us pretty positive. And of course, in windsurfing, we also can see a new trend, and this is wind foiling, foiling with windsurfing boards. And the whole sport did get a pretty big push due to the fact that wind foiling became Olympic. So in the Olympic Games 2024 in Paris, we will see people on windsurfing foil boards, what actually is really, really good that we have, yeah, this discipline in windsurfing, and have this discipline in the Olympic Games.
It seems that the beach and board sport sector needs a new trend or new variations of how to use a board every 5 or 6 years. It looks a bit odd, especially if you compare it to other water sports activities like sailing or motorboating. Are surfers so exceptionally keen to try out new stuff, or what is the reason for the special situation in your industry?
That's a very good question. We can probably have some philosophic answers about that, but I think one point is that the mother of trend sports, windsurfing, isn't that old. It's only 50 years or 45 or something. So, which is relatively new if you compare it to diving and sailing. And to have something new in those traditional water sports sections, probably everything has been experienced and has been there. And for a sport which is only 45 years old, there's still new things coming, and everybody's keen on developing new things. And this foiling trend, which is coming from sailing originally, I would say, is just developing in all sports. I mean, you can foil on anything at the moment. Yeah, you can put foils under your Optimist sailing dinghy. You can put it under a windsurf board, a surfboard, a wing foil board, a motorboat, electric surfboard, you name it. It's not about doing something new. It's about adding a new feeling to the known stuff, I would say.
You know, one of the major problems of wind sports is wind. And as windsurfing has been evolving over the last couple of years, people were always looking for more and more wind. You know, when it didn't have at least 12 knots or 13 knots, windsurfers were pretty reluctant to go out and go windsurfing. And now with foiling, and I also would like to mention that it's, as Andrea said, in kiting, you also can do kite foiling. And the big advantage is that the range of wind extended a lot. So now, you know, as I said, you know, before you need at least 12 knots of wind, but now you can go out 6 or 7 knots, what actually is really low wind. So this means the days people can spend on the water increased a lot. So, you know, let me say people went to the beach 10 times, and out of 10 times, they maybe did have a chance to go on the water 3 or 4 times. Now they go to the beach 10 times, and they can go at least 9 times on the water. And this is the big advantage. And this is also the big advantage of wing foiling or foils in general, that we are extending the wind range, you know, down and can spend more days on the water. And this is really a big advantage for all people who are exercising our sports.
No, I just wanted to come back to the question Jörg asked for right in the beginning. If it is typical for the board sports to be keen on new developments and things like that, from the point of view of the VDWS, it's a big difference between the development we had before between windsurfing and kitesurfing, because these were almost the same people moving over from the windsurfing to the kitesurfing when the kitesurfing grew up. And some stood there or remained there in the kitesurfing, some went back or did both sports disciplines. But with the stand-up paddling, it was the first time that the potential clientele got open much more to the board sports, because there were many people around who never had contact with boards or water before, and they were able to do a new sport quite successfully. And when the wing boarding, we call it wing boarding because we differentiate between wing surfing, which is not foiling, and the wing foiling on the other hand. But when the wing foiling came up, all the pros, they said wing foiling is something completely different. You cannot compare it to windsurfing, kitesurfing, stand-up paddling. It's something on its own. My first reaction was, yeah, this was already told to us, but with the kitesurfing, with stand-up paddling, with everything, it's almost the same. But in the meantime, looking to the international centers and their feedback, they definitely tell us that there are new clientele coming up, showing up, wanted to learn the wing boarding or the wing surfing instead of wind surfing or kite surfing. They just wanted to try something new, got infected by the medias and the nice pictures they saw. So there are many, many new people coming into the market, which is, on the other hand, a big advantage for the older trend sports like windsurfing and kitesurfing.
Let's talk about the sales aspects of the rise of new activities and new sports. So if I get it right, the rise of a new variation like wing foiling or wing surfing is quite perfect for producers and dealers. And if it's true that the people tend to extend their range of time on water by adding new variations of sports activities like windsurfers, do they invest or might invest in wing foiling equipment? Is this something that you experience in your business, Florian?
Well, I mean, looking at the sales figures, as I said, windsurfing has some kind of revivals. So our sales numbers for windsurfing went up as well. And this is also the case for all our competitors as well. But of course, we also see that wing surfing, wing foiling is also kind of jeopardizing, you know, windsurfing and kitesurfing. So this means people do not add their full equipment of wings, of boards, of foils, and do this for windsurfing and wingsurfing. We see, you know, kind of a shift. But we also can see that new people are coming to water sports. So this was something, you know, we saw a couple of years ago with SUP. What's really special on SUP is it's very simple. So basically everybody, regardless if a kid is like only 5 or 6 years old, or somebody is 70 or 80 years old, they all can paddle. You know, because they can adjust it to their physical skills. And for wing surfing and wing foiling, it's a little bit different because, of course, you need certain physical strengths to do it. That's the same for kiting and the same for windsurfing. So in my opinion, wing surfing, wing foiling never will get as big as SUP, because, you know, it's so the target group is more limited. But as I said, the interesting part is that new people are coming to the water sports. So we can see snowboarders who didn't do any water sports before. We can see skateboarders, because they know if they are goofy or regular. So they know, you know, how to stand on a board, because at the end of the day, it's standing on a board in a surf stance and going forward. So on a skateboard, you know, you roll. On a snowboard, you glide. And on a windsurfing board, you glide as well, regardless if you glide on the foil or on the water. So as I said, new people are coming to the sport, but of course you will see a shift between windsurfing, kitesurfing, and wingsurfing.
I would like to talk a bit about the stand-up paddling trend and the maybe not so positive consequences. We noticed that new players like supermarket discounters entered the board sport sector and integrated very cheap product combinations with boards and paddle into their product range. You can buy boards now in supermarkets, in sailing outlets, and wherever else for less money. How much does this influence the development for the specialized markets and the true board sport shops? Is it a problem for you and your colleagues, Florian?
Well, last year, or actually the last 2 years, we saw a lot of boards sold by discount stores. And, you know, of course, in the beginning, everybody was a little bit concerned about having those discount stores dumping a lot of product into the market. But at the end of the day, we realized that it did not hurt our sales. So, you know, there are still people, or still a lot of people, who would like to buy, you know, the right board at the right place, and also would like to get the right service. So these people are going to retail stores, specialist retail stores like windsurfing shops, like pure SUP shops, and getting their equipment there. You know, when they are buying a board, a cheap board at the discount store, you know, they get no service at all. And when they are losing their fin, for example, you know, they do not know where to get the you know, a spare part, a spare fin. So you know, I think you know, especially in Germany, people are really quality oriented, and this is something, you know, where we can see that the discount sales did not hurt our numbers. I even have to say, you know, with these cheap boards, a lot of new people came to the sport, and some of those people will stay within the sport, and they do not consider it as just having some fun at the beach. So they really consider it as a sport. And the next step is they say, okay, when I really would like to exercise, when I really would like to do it as a fitness training, I need a better product. I need a better board. I need a better paddle. And then, you know, these customers who entered the sport via discount store products, they end up buying boards from the premium brands as well. So, of course, we can see a lot of people paddling around on cheap boards, but it didn't, as I said before, it didn't influence our sales negatively. Because on the other hand, you always have to consider, when somebody considers to buy, for example, like a premium SUP for €1,000, you know, so when a discount store offers a board at 250, you know, they never would switch. On the other side, people who buy a board at a discount store for €250, they never would consider to buy a board at 800 or 900 euros. So it's a completely different target group. And I think this is, you know, something, you know, the premium brands really benefit from.
I would like to add something. I see stand-up paddling as a sort of entry drug. So into water sports, into wind-driven or waterboard sports, I would say. Yeah, that's true. And the more people that come into the sport, that's helping all the industry, because some, as Flo mentioned, will stay in the sport and will be more engaged and buy another board. You were asking for the critical parts of having lots of cheap boards on the market. And I see a lot of boards on the market that are not being used and that are lying around and that are going to be discarded pretty soon. And this is probably the negative part of having cheap boards on the market, it's an environmental problem because people have to get rid of them. They don't last that long. They are not quality boards. And sometimes they have pretty toxic solvents that are used to produce them. This is probably something buyers should look at also. How is my board produced and what is going to be done with my board after I have used it for a couple of years? So the longer you can use your board, the better it is for the environment. So better buy premium, I would say.
Coming back to the environment, there's some other negative point we found out during the past years when the discounter started to sell those cheap boards, because the customers buying such boards, getting into the spots, if it's a local spot or if it's an offshore spot, wherever, they are not very well informed, not educated in any way. And have just bought the board and do not have, or just have a small number of informations how to handle the board, how to handle the rules, and especially how to handle the environment. And looking to different places, there is a big discussion in some of these places if SUP, stand-up paddling, is going to be forbidden, because especially those guys are, running out of the rules, you know, and making the system not working very well in a way. So this is the reason why, for example, the BDWS started in the beginning of the year. We started already in last year to get in contact with those discounters and ask them, why don't you inform your customers much better, just to prevent them from disturbing or destructing the situations we have on the market, on the spots. And we didn't get any reaction because they are just focused on the money, you know, they earn there. So we tried to get into contact with our centers and to make them be able to handle those discounter customers much easier and in a more, let's say, regular way. And hopefully this will get successful. So we started the project 2 or 3 weeks ago. And hopefully we will manage the situation better than it was managed last year.
Another question to you, Dirk. How has the pandemic influenced the situation for water sports schools and training centers in general?
Like in all other branches, the centers were not very much sure how to handle the situation. So we tried to guide them in the first pandemic situation. We tried to guide them by creating such kind of hygiene systems and things like that, just to make them able to run their business the way they are used to do it and to combine it with the rules which have to be fulfilled. To be honest, in especially in Germany, it worked quite well, but also in the rest of Europe, it worked quite well in 2020, which made us finally to have the same number of licensed people like we had before worldwide. So much more people went into the centers and asked for the services, for the certain services, which was nearly the same number like we had before worldwide, but now just looking for Europe and Germany. So from my point of view, I would say they managed it quite well. The year 2020 was quite successful, and hopefully 21 will be the same, but it started much, much later in the meantime. So, well, when was the start again? It was two weeks ago that the first centers went open and were able to manage or to guide more than one people at a time. Mm-hmm. So to work with groups, for example, small groups.
Let's talk about Bord Düsseldorf and the boat show situation in general. We all know and love Bord Düsseldorf as the main platform for B2B and B2C contacts, and especially as an experience platform for end users. Since there were no trade shows in the past 15 months, how much does the cancellation of a trade show affect your business, really? And how will new products be presented this year if there is no trade fair in 2021?
I very much hope that Düsseldorf is taking place in January although nobody can say that at the moment, but it's looking pretty good. And during the summertime, the boards and sales are distributed via the shops all around the world. So there's no water sports during summertime anyway. So the first event, I would say, that's focusing on sales is the surf festival in Fehmarn in September, where the whole branch meets and showing, displaying boards and sails and stuff. And then everybody's looking forward to Boot Düsseldorf. Last year it was, of course, or not last year, this year in January. I always get the years mixed up. In January 21, the show wasn't taking place, which was pretty bad for everybody, I would say. But yeah, it needed to be that way. So we all adapted, and we are looking forward to next year.
Florian, how far does the lack of a trade show affect your business? Is it a problem for you and your business?
Well, I mean, as we discussed before, water sports have been winners of the pandemic situation. So, you know, as we discussed before, already in 2020, sales numbers went up. Also in 2021, sales numbers went up. So we can't really see that it did hurt our business. But this was a very special situation. And if we would say, well, now, as everything is growing, we don't need shows anymore, or we don't need the boat show anymore, for me, is very, very short-sighted. If somebody would really believe that we don't need a boat show anymore, this will not reflect what we have to see in the mid to long-term run. And, you know, we did have a board meeting of the boat advisory board just 2 weeks ago. And even, you know, our colleagues from the yacht business, you know, their sales went up dramatically. So they are sold out basically for this year and next year. But they're still really keen on having the boat show again. Because as I said, mid to long term, we need a show. We need to be able to show new products to the customers. And the boat show is really important for the B2C business. But it's also getting more and more important in the B2B business, because in Germany, there is no other show for water sports. We did have the Paddle Expo until last year, but then last year it did not take place anymore, and now it's canceled. And the paddle sport show now is in France, but this is not something, you know, German retailers will go to. So the boat show is also getting more and more important for our B2B business. Of course, for the B2B business, it's a little bit late, because we have to start with our pre-order season already in September. So September, October, and a little bit of November is the most important months. But still, in January, we are able to show new products. And, you know, due to the pandemic, due to the problems in the supply chain, we also moved the release dates back. So, you know, we did have the situation where we were introducing next year's products already in July and August, but this moved back in September, October, and the majority of products will be introduced to the market in January. So therefore, the boat show for us is really, really important.
There's another aspect of the boat show, which is the B2C. It's not about all about new products. It's also about getting new people into the sport. If you are a water sports person already and you're walking across Boot Düsseldorf as a sailor or a motorboat driver or a diver, and you're coming into this fun sports section of the Boot Düsseldorf and looking at all the things you can experience there and get wet and you get on the wave and try surfing for the first time in your life, you might get infected by this entry drug and might want to buy a board in the next year. So it's also very important about producing new water sports people and getting kids into the water sports in this fun sport section of the boat show.
That is quite optimistic for next year. And I would like to finish with an outlook on 2022, especially after those very successful years, 2020 and probably also 2021. Dirk, what is your outlook for the market in the next year and in the following years? During the lockdown and the pandemic, people have been operating water sports locally and investing in equipment, as we discussed. Do you expect this to continue?
I'm expecting the year 22. Let's assume that the pandemic is under control, so that the boat show can easily take place. I'm really looking forward for the next boat show to come up, because from the point of the VDWS, we badly need the boat show, because our focus is B2B business. So we have communication platforms there for all of our international members coming together there, joining all of our programs and things like that. Our annual meeting, for example, is held there. So we are missing it for 21 up to now, and have to repeat it in September or October. So we really need the boat show. But looking for the market situation, I think that in 20 and 21, the situation was, or the motivation of the customers was just get out of here, get out of the situation, do whatever you like, spend your money and enjoy your life the moment you are able or allowed to enjoy your life. And in this moment, the water sports business was just there, was prepared, was ready for them. So this made our numbers to grow up. I don't see that this motivation will remain the same for the next years if there is no boat show in the meantime. To, like Andrea said, get new people into the market, to attract the water sports for young people. And so I'm looking quite optimistically for 22, but I think one of the main or major targets has to be that the boat show is going to be held in 22.
The trends will continue, that's for sure. So I don't expect that our sports will go down. So, you know, the trends will continue. We will see still people joining stand-up paddling, joining windsurfing, kitesurfing. But of course, we need the boat show, as I said before, for a long-term perspective. And also, as Andrea said, to get new people to the sport. And for me, it's very important, because in Central Europe, it's pretty cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. With the boat show, we can show that we can basically keep the trend up and keep the interest up. And for me, it's the place to be for water sports enthusiasts. So I'm pretty positive for the future of our sports, not only in 2022, but also going into the next decade even.
As we talked a lot about trends today, are there any new trends on the horizon? Is there a next big thing? Or is there maybe a focus on sustainability in the board sports sector for the next few years? What do you expect?
You were asking about what's the next big thing coming up. I don't see a next big thing, but I see a lot of potential in the sports that are already there, and I see a lot of new stuff, new maneuvers, new races, new equipment coming up that is improving the performance of those equipments, and also the ability you need to get into those sports will be lowering. I mean, it will be more easy to come into those new sports as those sports develop further. So you don't need to be very athletic, you don't need to be very coordinated to learn to windsurf or to wingboard, because the equipment is getting easier and people will have fun right away, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, what I also would like to add here is, you know, talking about trends, you know, what we can see in all different sports now is that it's that the equipment is getting more dedicated to certain areas of use. And I think this is really a trend we see. So, you know, windsurfing, when we look like 40 years back, everybody did have one board, one rig. That's it. And now, you know, you have special boards for special segments. You can go wave sailing, racing, foiling, etc. And, you know, this is also something we see in stand-up paddling, where people, they come into the sport with an all-round board, but then they say, okay, I would like to do touring, so I would like to paddle for long distances, etc. Or what I would like to go into a river and do whitewater paddling. So it's getting more and more dedicated. And this is what we already can see with the wing. So people, you know, here in the south of Germany, they were using the wing with a snowboard, with skis in the wintertime. So the wing, they do not only use on the water, but they also use it on frozen water. And as I said, so this is something we will see, that it's getting more and more dedicated. But this also means that people need more information and they need more feedback. What is the right equipment for them? Because at the end of the day, we would like to supply the right equipment for the people, so that people really have fun with their sports and that the range of use is getting as broad as possible. But let me also mention something, you know, Andrea mentioned it shortly before, is sustainability. That's also one very important point for us, so that we are trying to produce our products as eco-friendly as possible. But we still have to realize that we are producing plastic, and that's the case. But we have to do it in the best way. So this is something, you know, especially Starboard is really behind using recycled materials, regardless if it's like, for example, fin boxes, if it's handles, if it's the EVA deck. And for every board we sell, you know, we are also planting one mangrove. So that's also a very important aspect, that we take care of our environment and that the products we produce are as eco-friendly as possible. And this is something, you know, what of course is also kind of creating a different price level. But this is something where we can also see that the consumer is really appreciating that, you know, that you focus on sustainability, because this is our future and this is the future for our kids.
Great. Thank you all. I think we had a long and very intensive discussion. Thanks for your time and your participation today. Next month, we will talk about sailing and the development of the boating industry. Have a nice day and talk to you soon.
The Reboot Talk, your business podcast by Boot Düsseldorf.